3 league wins in a row, followed by 2 league defeats, and then a mediocre, is that harsh, win in the cup last night. Anyway, this is A Wise Man Say, episode 4. My name is Robin.
And I'm Ben, and there's a horse on the loose!
Welcome. This is Wise Men Say, episode 4. We're not quite as full of the joys of spring this time around. It's not been a good few games. That said, we have got a lot to talk about. We've obviously got the games against Plymouth and Dagenham and Redbridge in the league. We've got the victory against Helen Chamberlain's Torquay.
In your face, Chamberlain.
Bring it. I don't know.
You keep asking people to bring stuff.
Bring a picnic. Does that work? Yeah. Cherry Bakewells, that kind of thing. The other thing we've got fantastic, well, I say fantastic, bigging it up a bit there, but we're going to review Mark Walters. We're going to remember Mark Walters as the fine player he was. We're going to review our predictions from last time, which were a little bit gung-ho, if I may say.
From the heart.
From the heart, gung-ho, fine line. That's about it, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. As always, email us. Yeah. wisemensay@live.co.uk.
And that email address, once again, is wisemensay@live.co.uk. We will answer any email that we receive, primarily because we don't get that many, but secondarily because we like you.
Yeah.
Happy listening.
Happy listening.
Okay, just a kind of quick fire review of the Plymouth game on Tuesday the 28th at the County Ground. A real kick in the teeth. Horrible.
Yeah. I didn't go, so I'm going to allow you. You're going to inform me about what happened. What did I miss?
I'll inform you about the game.
Heartbreak and despair.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I'm sure you've seen the timings of the goal. It could have finished 3-2 to Plymouth a multitude of ways. Could have finished 4-0 to Plymouth. Not over the context of the game, but you know, after the first two were conceded, we could have conceded another two before we even got our asses into gear, for want of a better expression. Ultimately, it finished 3-2 to Plymouth, but it was the nature of that third that was really hurtful.
That's what riles, yeah.
Oh, mate, it was horrible.
And not a problem with the nature of the performance from Swindon.
I mean, to be fair, if you're going to concede two in the first 8 minutes, then we did as well as we could have done with that kind of position.
Yeah.
Up until the point where they got a man off, and ironically, that meant we pushed up a little bit forward, and then they got that last minute winner. Oh, it was horrible, mate. They're crossing.
The car crash TV?
It was a bit. Yeah, no one really knew how to react. It was horrible. It was that moment, you know the moment. The moment when the away fans go into absolute elation, and the home fans just,
And you want to strike a curse upon all of their families.
It was nasty. Although we did go to the Merlin afterwards and sink a few, so that was fun. Anyway, let me review.
Had a great time.
Yeah. Let me review the game for you. Okay, so shell shock, massive shell shock after the first two were conceded. Obviously, a terribly sloppily conceded goal. Mm-hmm. Mistake by Lucas, and you could argue a bit of a mistake by McGovern as well on the left, allowing the cross. However, it was a good cross for the second goal. It was tucked away. They were queuing up.
Yep.
Absolutely. They were at that point, they had us. We were on the ropes. They had about, what, 5-6 players in the box waiting for that cross?
Yeah, I saw the highlights of that. Yeah. Like you said, it was the centre-half scored the second, wasn't it?
It was the centre-half scored the second, that's right.
So does it come from a corner, like a corner that's broken down?
No, I don't think so. No, it was from open play.
So what's he doing up there? I'm going up front. See
you later. Yeah, it's a fair shout.
It's got to be from set piece. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was. I don't know.
Like you said, they're queuing up, man.
They were queuing up. Yeah, definitely. They definitely knew they had us on the ropes. And the chance of easy work was coming from the away supporters, who, incidentally, were very loud and very good all game.
Some might say a bit too loud.
A bit too loud, yeah. They're a funny bunch down there. Anyway, that's obviously hugely speculative and not in any way true. So we went 2-0 down, and we were in shell shock. It took us a while to get going, which is fair enough if you go 2-0 down the first 8. After we did get going, I personally thought we did as well as we could. Up until Pratton sending off, I thought we did as well as we could. I'm not going to blame Pratton, though.
I think...
Looking at the replays, that first challenge for his second yellow was horrific, you know.
So the booking he got prior to sending off booking...
Mate, I really don't remember
really
it.
Really significant. But having looked at that tackle, like you said, the one where he's gone in, the first part of that.
No, it's not acceptable.
No, you can't do it. And I'm not saying straight red.
Well, the guy next to me said, he's off. And I said, well, that's not quite a straight red, is it? And he just said, no, he's been booked before. I was like, oh, I didn't realise.
Definitely a second yellow.
Definitely. Okay, so...
Hang on, just on that point. Is his disciplinary record something to be a bit concerned about at this stage? What, six or seven games in and he's...
Yeah, he's been booked, I think, six or seven times. He's been sent off twice, so make of that what you will. Probably the most noticeable feature of his play so far.
Did you expect that to be a
feature? Not really, no. I don't know what I expected, to be honest. I expected just someone to... I suppose I wanted the moon on a stick. I thought we'd have this like all singing, all dancing centre midfielder who could defend, attack, slot in.
Write novels,
yeah. Make, do everything. You know,
make babies laugh.
Yeah.
just an all-round great guy.
Make babies laugh.
I don't know.
So what else happened? Big V. Big V looked ineffective. He looked reluctant to chase down long balls. He looked like he wasn't
That's
able.
That's understandable, though, man.
It is. I mean... Well, is it?
A long ball.
Yeah.
Did he give anyone a look to kind of look around and say, "I ain't getting that"?
No, not really.
That's what I think.
I like him. I still like him.
Yeah, I do.
But
like
he looked ineffective. Their centre backs were beasts, both of them, and they completely dealt with him. They owned him.
Is that really ominous?
Cadiz.
Are we talking prison own or?
let's not go there. Okay. Cadiz gave us some natural width. Cadiz was excellent. Our best player. Him,
really, that's a comparison massively to Saturday.
Well, I thought he was playing narrow on Saturday, though. I like him out wide. I think he and to be fair, like he
expansive play.
Yeah, he was really good. He was quite up for it as well. You know, yeah. Him, Pratton, and DeSavi. I got to say that those were the three that were really that carried the fight. Mm. Pratton had a better game than usual.
Yeah,
he to be honest, in the first half, he was probably our best player. Anyway. Aggression from Cadiz to Savian Pratt, and we needed a bit more of that.
Yeah.
O'Brien, when he came on at 2-1. Mm-hmm. He looked
Here
lost
come the
again.
Big guns.
He looked totally lost. Like for someone who can run so fast, he doesn't have to stand still a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that people sometimes sort of think that we're being a bit harsh on O'Brien.
Yeah.
I remember last week when we watched the game with Huddersfield, when there was that one, like we said, when he came on, and he actually did look lost. You could see the look on his face.
It was the same again. It was completely the same again. Compare that with somebody like Craig Noon, who turned in a fantastic performance, and you kind of realise just how lost he looked. In my opinion, it was two good goals from the town. Pratton's, I know you saw it on the highlights, you said our keeper should have done better, and keeper should have done better. But, you know, lotteries and raffles, Ben, you know? And he stuck it right in the...
like some horrible East End.
He took it early.
Yeah.
It was right in the corner.
Was it speculative?
Yes, it was. Particularly because it was coming from him, and he hasn't done anything that...
I'm not, you know, fair play for taking it. Fair play even more for the assist from Big Kev. But it's one of those, if I was a keeper at the other end, you'd expect to do a bit better.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of tried to push it rather than just block it.
You know, I think it's that he took it early and it was accurate. It was right in the corner, and that's always going to cause keepers problems.
A goal's a goal. The record books will always show that Pratton scored and I scored none.
Yeah, you scored none. Yeah, exactly.
There you are.
There we are. Horrible way for it all to pan out. I mean, ultimately, you can't go two down in the first 10 and expect to get anything out of the game. We nearly did. So that should be seen as a positive, but after that last-minute winner, obviously, no one felt very positive. I think the best way to look at it is to almost separate the game down into two separate events. You've got the game, and then you've got the kick in the teeth bit at the end. You know, and
the bit that I'm always going to remember, unfortunately.
Yeah, the bit, the legacy, absolutely. Number 10 remains a key position with a narrower midfield, and in my honest opinion, and I love the guy, he's come on leaps and bounds under Wilson, but... John Paul McGovern's probably not up to the number 10 position. My favourite thing is probably this girl at work who said that her dad went and saw Town for the first time this season, watched the whole game with the roller coaster of emotions that it was and the absolute kick in the teeth at the end. And his reaction, he turned to her and said, "Right, tickets for Dagenham and Redbridge away then this Saturday." Like, what a great reaction.
That's a good reaction. It feels like he's owed something.
Yeah, it feels like he's owed something, and I feel a bit like that as well. So we've got to hit the motorway pretty much now.
A few minutes. Obviously, we're heading off to Dagenham today, like we said. But
questions do you have for me, Ben? You know, having not seen the game, is there anything you want answered?
They're more sort of my usual stupid questions.
Okay.
One, you never really hear Ian Wright big up Bradley Wright Phillips as much.
Why is true.
Why is that?
I don't know. Isn't Sean Wright Phillips massively into adult movies?
He does have a share in an adult movie company.
Yeah.
And I also know somebody that went out on a date with Sean Wright Phillips.
Do you really?
Yeah, but that's a different story. He's very small. Not in a Gerald Eiffel.
Jerry Eiffel, yeah.
You know, but I'm going to say, based on Ian Wright's insistence that Sean should be in every England squad, in fact, should be the England captain.
Yeah.
Ian Wright's such an idiot.
My favourite thing about Ian Wright ever is when England lost 1-0 to Northern Ireland and he wouldn't speak.
Oh, he's just such an idiot.
In the studio, they're like, Ian, do you have anything to say on the game? And he was just looking at his toes, shaking his head. Like,
I really dislike Ian Wright.
I love that. That's
really? Oh, just such a bumbling idiot.
Don't speak to me. But Ian, we're in the studio. We've got to speak to you. What are you paid for?
Not today.
Not having it. Cabbages.
Watching the highlights for the first goal, there's a bit which is really funny, just where the camera sort of pans and it stays on it, focusing on the open goal or the ball in the net. And Big Kev just stood there on the 6-yard box.
He looks really hurt.
I know.
He?
He's not done anything wrong. No. But he's just hands on hips, kind of. What are you doing to me, guys? Yeah. You're killing me. I'm going to have to try and turn this all around by myself now.
Without wanting to kind of go too far into the upcoming away game today that we're going to,
yep.
I mean, what do you think, man?
Well, I can't even remember what my initial prediction was. But
I said it would be 2-0 because I went first. And yeah.
What did I say? 3-1.
You said 3-1.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that.
I'm not going to change that massively. I think we're going to nick it, to be honest. But
the first 20 is going to be horrible because, do you know why? Because of the fact that they're gonna have done a bit of research and they're gonna.
No, I don't think so.
I think we'll have to ride it out. I think they're gonna come out swinging.
I think we're gonna say, right, come on, let's consolidate. We know what went wrong in the last match.
What with the narrow midfield that we're playing at the moment? I can't see that happening.
But it's a good team.
I think they're
gonna
come out swinging at us, and we're gonna have to ride the storm, and then I think we can win it.
Let's not come to blows over it, but. If I'm right, I'm gonna punch you in the face. I think that. I don't think it's going to be a walkover, but I still think we're going to be strong enough to put in quite a dominating performance.
Well, I hope so.
This isn't a kind of... I know people like the advert been coming out and saying, oh, we're going to walk it, it's going to be easy, dang it, I'm not even a real team. But it's not going to be
conference a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah. They are on the up, for how they've been performing this season.
Anyway, we're going to hit the M4 now, so...
Can we go to the shops? I want to buy a drink beforehand.
Yeah, not a problem. Nice
right.
Milk.
See you in a bit.
A superb result for the strugglers and John Still, but not such good news for visitors Swindon and boss Danny Wilson, as they're struggling to match their heroics of last season. It finished 2-1 to Dagenham.
So Robin, we're here. It's very exciting. I might wet myself with excitement. How do you feel?
I was feeling quite negative until we got here, and now I'm feeling quite positive for some unknown reason. I'm feeling like we're going to do them.
I think we may do them too. Watch this space. Right then, mate, what's your name?
Dez.
And Dez, today, what do you think the score's going to be?
2-1. 2-1 to the town.
And who do you think the key player's going to be today?
Perricard needs to start getting a few goals, so I'm going to say Perricard.
Okay then, mate, what's your name?
Mike.
What do you think the score will be today then, Mike?
1-0 to Swindon Town.
Nice bit of enthusiasm put in the end there. Who do you think will be the key player today?
Thomas DeSavey.
Nice choice.
Why not?
Okay then, mate, what's your name?
It was Gavin.
What do you think the score will be today then, Gavin?
I think we'll win 3-2.
And who do you think will be the key player?
Andy Much.
Time to review the last league game at Dagenham and Redbridge, Victoria Road, on Saturday the 2nd of October. Starting to think we shouldn't go to away games, Ben.
What a long day.
Yeah, we didn't get back till 10 past 11 due to some horseplay on the M25. I've actually used a pun there. A horse did actually escape.
We started off with quite good spirits, good morale for the day, nice journey up.
Yeah, it's always
enjoying the sunshine. It's quite warm.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, everyone was in good spirits. We had Big Malk in the front downing cans of Carlsberg by the bucketful.
You didn't have to keep goading him.
No.
Down. The poor guy. It's quite good fun. Quite a few lavatory breaks along the way as well.
Yeah, it's always nice to stop at South Mimms as well. A wash with colour.
Yeah.
Plenty of.
Also, your sat-nav taking us on mystical journeys.
Yeah, it will do that. It will do that. Good.
But yeah, we arrived there, walked to the ground. It's a very interesting area, I suppose.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's nice here.
Rolling green and... sounds...
Rolling green.
Rolling green. That's not what we were doing. I was just trying to make a reference to beautiful British countryside and the contrast with the the pit that is Dagenham and Redbridge. Anyway, when we arrived, I felt quite positive, as you heard from the sound bites there. I thought we were going to do them, but we didn't, did we?
No. Not sure what went wrong. I mean, we arrived there. I missed the first goal.
Yes, so did I. I had a burger and I was making my way up the stand, and next thing, a massive bloke has bundled me, and I'm doing very well to keep hold of my burger.
Yeah, sorry about that.
he's then trying to take the burger out of my hand. I don't know whether he was
really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
And you were being mugged.
Well, I was basically being mugged for my burger. He was not small either. But I mean, to be fair, I think he was just trying to say, "Look, mate, we've just scored, and you were busy getting your burger." But I was hungry, man.
Yeah, looking back at it, it's a nice goal.
Yeah, it was. It was
great cross and well taken header.
You know, I was watching the play. I saw the play up to the thing. And I thought, right, okay.
Does Debbie's going to miss from here?
Well, no, I didn't see the cross. Just turned around and made my way up to my. Well, I say my seat. We didn't get seats, did we, Ben?
No, we didn't. Well, what was happening with that seating situation at the start? Because it's like everyone was stood in that middle channel, obviously, up the stairs. And then finally they opened up the left-hand, or what you could call it, the right-hand side, for other people to sit down, where they had netting on it beforehand.
I mean, you know when you're bitter about a game that you played really badly in, when you're criticising the stewarding and general organisation.
Yes, I am. It was, for want of a better word, lackluster.
It was lackluster, as was the performance. Difficult to really name anyone who played with any kind of, certainly, grit or determination.
Billy Bowden, when he came on.
Billy Bowden, apart from the air shot that he missed, looked quite lively.
I still reckon if you were to study the stats, I maintain that he ran more in 10 minutes than Pericard and Dosevi did combined.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good goal from Dosevi. I'm not sure what's up with Pericard running, to be honest. I don't know.
It's just amazing. He never seems to travel anywhere. Or,
I mean, having gone to
these balls that he should chase down.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing. Chase it down, force a mistake. I know that's not the prettiest way to play. I know that it's not the way almost that we've been used to playing under Wilson. You know, we have got a little bit prettier, but that's all kind of out the window now with this narrow midfield. We're defending a little bit deeper now. We're not looking confident. Morrison and Cuthbert look shaky against Plymouth and against Dagenham and Redbridge, although better last night, but we'll come on to that later.
Yeah. Well, that second goal was the ball being allowed to bounce.
18 times, was it a bounce? Something times. Like that. I counted 18.
Yeah, it was more or less that. Yeah. Somebody was doing a dance as well before it went in.
Yeah.
Or even making the connection.
Yeah.
There was so much time. I mean, but to be fair to Morrison, because I always love defending Morrison, the ball's come over Rose, and Rose has misjudged it, which has obviously put Morrison off, and then it's bounced over him.
Yeah, I mean, once you let it bounce once, it kind of becomes
Don't let it bounce a second time.
Yeah, no, but it does become more awkward. That's why you should never let it bounce the first time, because suddenly it's indecision. It's like, is it yours? Is it mine? Where's it going? I mean, obviously, I've played at a very high level, so I can make those comments.
Well, you played at the highest level.
Yeah, that's because I'm 6'3". Anyway,
so bad.
I know. Look, we're not going to dwell on this for too long. We've decided we're not good luck charms for away games, but we're still gonna go.
We'll try and go to a few, but I think it's just everyone I spoke to who went to it. I mean, there were so many people there from Swindon as well.
And yeah, there were.
The
yeah.
best stand.
Yeah, we got the best stand. We got the tunnel and everything.
Yeah, but it's just.
The best stand. I mean, in that stadium, that's saying a lot.
Oh, yeah. We'll come on to some of the things from our delightful view later. But just such an abject second-half performance. I don't even know if they came out.
I don't know. I'm not sure they did. The second half was awful, wasn't it? The first half, it was kind of meh. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty diabolical. Having said that, it's only left us 4 points off the playoffs. Nice, tight league that we're in. Let's just call it a bad run, shall we? I'm not going to really... There's no point doing
it. Let's not dwell on the game, but let's talk a little bit about what happened to us afterwards. Did you get stuck in the M25?
Yeah. I mean, did you? I mean, because we did. We met... Was it Paul?
With Paul.
Paul, great guy. If you're hearing this, Paul, top bloke, mate.
Yeah, you're right.
Good to meet you. And you joined in with our game of cricket as well.
Yeah, cricket on the M25, which isn't big or clever.
But funny.
And
worth taking photos of.
And it was worth it as well for when Basu did a very soft shot that kind of bounced onto this woman's car, and she got out of the car to almost...
It was a defensive shot.
She was going to have a go.
Straight bat. Off the back foot. Nothing. Nothing at all. Clipped her hubcap. Tennis ball.
She was really cross. Yeah, tennis ball.
Tennis ball.
For all you horse lovers out there, there was a sort of a pang of disappointment within our car as we went past, and we were hoping to see the outline of a white chalk outline of a horse shape on the road.
With a circle of policemen holding their hats in a respectful Bound manner.
Signs, but no. None of that.
Didn't happen.
The weather on the way back as well.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't a great day out, but I mean...
A long day.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that that's the kick up the arse we needed. I like to think that that's the kick up the arse. I've just said the same thing twice.
Apparently, according to, I think it's Lucas, he said to the advert that there was a real dressing down.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Afterwards. But there was a few people who ran to the front to start... Who were booing and really going for
it. Well, I mean, you know, you travel all that way.
Yeah, but come on, man. They were clapping us as well.
Well, we noticed, actually, the first two players off, I think it was Pericar and was it Ferry? I don't know, two of the first two players. They got booed, and then the rest got clapped. didn't seem fair.
Do you reckon Ferry turned to Pericar? Because of you, I'm getting booed. Normally, these guys lap it up. But yeah, there's some people, they really did, they went down the front, they were going for it, man.
They really were. But I don't think we should dwell on, there's not really much, I mean, you know, our wonderful match analysis that we're, you know, we go into huge tactical levels anyway, but there's
I'll give my final footnote.
Yeah,
which is to just sum up the day, because it's just going to leave you with a puzzled face. Dagenham and Redbridge claim that it's the greatest day in their history.
Yes. I will just quickly summarise that, you know, I made the point after Huddersfield, if it's not broke, you can't try and fix it, with regards to our narrow midfield, but, you know, after Dagenham and Redbridge, it was certainly broke. And the second half performance reminded me, of us under Malpas, just allowing teams to play, you know, not pressuring them. So hopefully that's the kick up the arse we needed, because I think if that's not a kick up the arse, I don't know what is. We forgot to mention Roberts, Ben, the keeper.
Oh,
I mean,
no, let's have a little.
You go, it's almost worth having a Roberts section. I mean, you know, he was marvellous.
Yeah. Nice bit of humour. I mean, there was a bit of barracking, I suppose, from the away fans, but he took it all in good humour. I mean, the things about people questioning sexuality and him bending over doing certain stretches.
I mean, he was the only bit of entertainment in the second half, wasn't he?
Sign him up, because he's comedy.
A whole range of facial expressions on show from Tony Roberts, and a great save from McGovern at the end, just definitely. To really stick it to the Swindon fans, which I've got to admit, I was a little bit obviously very annoyed, because that was pretty much the only clean cut chance we created. But you know, I did empathise with Roberts there, just like, yeah, have some of that. Not that I was happy about it, though.
Maybe we should sign him.
In a way, though, I'm not a sadist or anything, but, you know, if you're going to play that badly, you almost deserve it. And I hate to say that about my team, but, you know, you can't invite teams, even if they're as terrible as Dagenham and Redbridge, you cannot defend deep and invite teams onto you, because that's how you can see goals.
Okay, we'll just make one statement as well, which we're obviously not comfortable doing, but, yeah, Big Kev didn't have the greatest second half.
No, I mean...
Sorry, Big Kev.
So yeah, sorry, Cavs, but you were poor.
Moving on.
Yeah, that's Dagenham and Redbridge.
So next was Tuesday, the 5th of October, and Torquay at home in the Johnston Paint Trophy.
2-0.
Yeah.
2-0.
Only £10 to get in, which is always
£10. 2-0.
You just going to answer everything like that?
I think I might.
After a bit of confusion as to getting into the ground, what, there's some weird stewarding again? There seems to be
a
hate campaign against stewards now.
Yeah, I mean, I worked last night, then I went and played football, and I came straight to the game, and I was spitting feathers at the stewarding.
You still had a little bit of sweat on you from the football.
I smelt as well, mate, I'll be honest.
I didn't try and smell you.
Yeah, well, good job.
Yeah, but we finally found our seats.
Yeah.
After...
We were misdirected, right. Anyway.
So what we're saying is basically we missed the first minute, and I didn't realise this until I read a match review today. They had a chance in like the first 16 seconds where they should have scored. Not Swindon, Torquay.
Following on from our abject second half performance, but we seemed to get our Dagenham and Redbridge I'm talking about, of course, but we seemed to get our act together, scored two reasonably good goals.
David Ball. Hey, he had a great game.
He likes it out wide, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does on the right. He was awesome.
I thought he was getting into it against Dagenham just before he got taken off anyway. He was on the left there, but never mind. O'Brien came on, did all right anyway against Dagenham. But anyway, separate subject.
I thought, you know, David Ball had a really good game. I was a bit... That through ball for Perricard's goal was fantastic, but it's a bit... like some of the reviews I was reading today, they seem to be bigging up sort of Perricard's...
Well, he was brave. I mean, and he did what he needed to do. He anticipated the ball, and he got there first. He kind of turned the speculative ball into a good ball, I'd say. Mm. But I mean, David Ball had a great game. Definitely, he got man of the match, I believe.
Did he?
Yeah,
I missed it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. I was listening to old Simon. I'm not Glaswegian in the slightest. Ferry being interviewed on Wiltshire Sound.
Right, that bit.
I don't. Can we do that?
Well, that voice it might work.
It's a good voice.
Yeah, that's cheers. Richie.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, he looks
a jet-heeled wonder boy.
Yeah, I mean, Ball and Richie, they look to me like quite similar players. They could almost both of them play perhaps on the left and right of a front three, maybe, off Big V.
What was the formation yesterday?
It was weird. 4-1-4-1.
Well, you say that. A guy at work to me goes 4-5-1 at home, and I was convinced it was 4-3-3.
I don't think it was attacking.
I don't want to say it was a fluid formation. I didn't really think
I think it was. I think 4-5-1 spot on. With Ball and Richie providing the width.
That's a bit negative at home against Torquay.
Ferry got forward all right, though, didn't he?
Fair play to him.
Yeah.
He did some good bursting. And he's got some pace on him.
I mean, I hate to ruin things for Big Kev, but is he the more natural choice to play in the hole? Ferry. I mean, it looks...
for Big Kev.
Oh, come on.
Big Kev, yeah, all right. But when Big Kev was moved to centre-back last night, he was...
It took a while to adjust, shall we say.
Kev, you know, you've got lots of talents creating stuff down the right wing with your magic wand that's so artistic.
Yeah.
But centre-half... No, I don't think it's the thing. I think kind of like when a man's going to beat him, he always has to rugby tackle him or something to bring him down. You've noticed that quite a few times. He did it against Dagenham almost.
No, well. It's just when you
said... You really don't want to...
No, it's just when you said when a man's going to beat him, I just thought of When a Man Loves a Woman by Perry Como. Is it by Perry Como?
I don't know.
When a man's going to beat him... Sorry.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What I have to
long tell. Day. It's been a long day. We've been at work.
So I kind of, after the first goal, and even the second goal... I expect them to push on more, but again, it's this... You said to me, I was saying, I expect them to... This could be the beating, Bass. This could be the beating we've hoped for. You said, never under Wilson.
No.
That was your exact quote.
Yeah, and like I don't want to... You know, I like Wilson. I do like Wilson. But I think maybe we are a little bit negative. Maybe we defend a little bit too deep, particularly from set pieces. And I'm not too sure about the narrow midfield either. However, Ball and Richie spells width to me. Then we got Caddis as well.
You're awful at spelling.
I know, I'm really poor. Yeah, I mean, you know, there were some positives. I mean, you can only beat what's in front of you, blah, 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 other varied football cliches. Bristol Rovers will be a test. I seem to remember something about them sticking four past us at home last season. It was a weird game. We were in the game, and then they scored with their first two shots on goal, very clinical, and they put us to the sword. Mm. I don't like being put to the sword by Bristol Rovers, so I'm hoping that we'll do a little bit better on Monday, and I'm sure everyone listening is hoping as well. Everyone listening, how many people, Ben? What, 13 people? Something like that.
12.
Yeah, 12, 13. Unlucky for some. Anyway, we're not going to dwell on Torquay for any longer. Do you have any pertinent points to make, Ben?
Nathan Thompson, good debut.
Well done, Nath.
I kind of...
Nath. Well done, Nate Dog.
He's not...
He might like that.
He might like that.
I won't hear that.
No. Why do you say these things? I kind of wanted second half for Bowden to come on and we left.
Yeah.
Which is like, mate,
it's like he told
Wilson, mate, it's 2-0 up. Come on, man.
We were right by him, to be fair. Yes.
Let's hope this boosts the morale or steadies the ship a bit. Because
yeah, because that'll be a test on Monday night. But I've got a funny feeling we'll come through it. But then again, my funny feelings don't count for much because my aggregate prediction for Torquay and for Plymouth and for Dagenham was 9-0 and yours, Ben, was 9-3. But there we go.
I stand by my choices. Anyway, that was Torquay.
That was Torquay.
Predictions.
Predictions.
Hey, time for us to review our scores from last time.
Yeah, okay, Ben, you're now 4-2 up, mate.
In your face.
Yeah, in my face, because I went for 4-0, Torquay, and you went for 3-0, and it was 2-0, so you're closer, so you get a point for that. Both of us went for wins against Plymouth and Dagenham and Redbridge.
What do we know?
We go 1-0 up against Huddersfield and obviously win the game, and then I went 9-0 aggregate for the next three games, and you went for 9-3. It's actually worked out as, I think, 7-4 down.
Yeah. I was 5-4. I was really hoping I was going to get spoiled last night. But oh no. So 4-2 is my lead at the moment, so that's 4-2 to me. Yeah. Just make sure you know about that.
Yeah, but that's Ben like being much better than me at everything, most things. Okay, so Monday the 11th, we've got a couple of grudge matches coming up, haven't we? We've got Bristol Rovers at home on Monday the 11th. We're then away at Peterborough, which isn't a grudge match, but should be a fairly tough one because they're going really, really well.
Yep.
And then we're at home to Orient on Saturday the 23rd. So, predictions for Bristol Rovers. It's revenge, Ben. You know, they beat us 4-0 at our place.
I'm going to say that local pride's going to come through.
Yeah, they're conceding a lot this season.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy one. It's going to be a tough 4-1, and I think 2-1 I'm gonna
Oh damn it, I can't.
Yeah, you know the rules, man. 2-1, I'm there first.
Alright, we're gonna nick it 1-0.
Alright.
We're gonna nick it 1-0. Let's move on. Okay,
Peterborough.
Oh dear.
You know when the teams come down and people like go, oh, they got relegated, but they're still strong, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they are strong.
Yes.
And McLean's still a good player and he's still banging them in.
Yes.
I can't see us even getting a draw, to be honest.
Go on then, say it. Give us the loss. Go on, do it.
All right.
See if, you know, all the listeners, all the little kids.
Make them cry.
Yeah, go on.
3-1.
Wow.
I know. Come on, man. Can you see it?
Well, okay. I think we're going to beat Bristol Rovers, and I think we're going to be buoyed by that. And I think we're going to we're either going to lose 2-1 or we're going to draw 1-1.
Yeah, but you've got to choose one.
I know, and I'm going to choose the draw. I'm going to choose the draw. We're going to draw 1-1.
I applaud your optimism.
Because all I've done so far is refuse to believe that we can possibly lose a game, even though we've, you know, Swindon have proved to me a number of times already that we're more than capable of losing games. The highlight of that being, obviously, Dagenham and Redbridge, where we were absolutely appalling. But still, I'm going to go for 1-1. And then finally, our grudge match. Orient did not deserve that win in the Carling Cup, Ben.
No.
And we're back at home, obviously off the back of a 1-1 draw with Peterborough. Mm. So my turn to go first.
Okay.
This time, we're going to beat them 2-0. That's nice. What you were going to say, isn't it?
No, it wasn't.
No? Okay. I mean, take your time. You and I both know that dead air is a crime.
I'm going for 1-0.
1-1. Okay, so Ben, to be fair, already 4-2 up. Clearly a bit more pragmatic in his approach. Doesn't wear his heart on his sleeve quite so much. And is probably going to go further up because I like the sound of your predictions, mate. But what can I say? You know, I want to be the optimist.
That's all about winning for me.
Yeah.
I know it hurts.
You've got that killer instinct, haven't you?
Anyway, 4-2 up.
Yeah, predictions. That was that. Time for our blast from the past section, remembering players who perhaps aren't, you know, Hall of Famers, I suppose. And
it was much missed last week, but we've got a good one here.
Yeah, we've got a good one here. We're going to talk about Mark Walters, a personal favourite of mine. I was a massive fan.
Full name, Bess.
Mark Everton Walters, full name. Signed free from Southampton, on a free, I should say, in 1996. I was 17 at the time, and as far as I was concerned, he was a Liverpool player. Having a quick check on good old Wikipedia proves that he wasn't actually at Southampton for very long. I actually thought at the time we had signed him from Liverpool, but there we go. He was a brilliant, brilliant player. He loved a step over. He could do kick-ups while sitting on his ass, looking the other way, just keeping the ball.
What, you used to do that in the warm-up?
He used to do it in the warm-up. He didn't have to look at the ball, man.
It's just there.
Didn't have to look at the ball. He was the kind of player you could play a 60-yard pass straight into feet. He'd be being closed down by two opposition players, and it would just stick to him naturally. He was awesome when he was on his game. He was awesome, and you've got to remember he was in his 30s when he was at Town as well.
You know, he played at the highest level though, hadn't he? So
his touch, mate, and
from make you weep.
From a purely selfish point of view, that's why I like to remember him, because at the time I was 17 years old and I just loved the idea of a player that skillful in a Swindon shirt. Josh Byford, thanks Josh, echoes my sentiments. He says that Mark Walters was the first player who really stood out for him when he started going to the County Ground. The first match he ever saw was against Stockport, and it was Iffy, good old Iffy, and Walters that grabbed the goal each, and I love this. Josh, you're a great wordsmith, mate. Left an indelible impression on my naive football cortex. I mean,
see, I love the way that stuff like that. I mean, that's some beautiful words.
It is. It's words. Fighting back the tears.
I know. Fighting back the tears.
Nice.
That's awful.
No, that's good.
I like that. How when you start going to watch a team, or when you first start falling in love with football, you have a player who just, you know, I love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
No rational reason other than just you think he's the greatest player in the world ever.
For me, I mean, I know he wasn't probably very team-minded. Rich C has emailed in. He didn't really send a very big email, but he just simply sent it with, Nicky Summerby was a better winger than Mark Walters. I mean, that's actually open to debate, isn't it? Yes, for Town, absolutely.
He was on Record Breakers. Come on.
But he was indeed. And Buzzer did fantastically well for the Town. But I mean, Mark Walters technically obviously the better player, but anyway, cheers Rich for that contribution. Back to Josh. Josh sums it up for me. He says he could lift the dullest match with a touch of genius. And
see, players like that are always going to be loved though, aren't they?
See him on the Masters football, mate, and I get a little twinge of passion, a little twinge of... That sounds a bit rude, doesn't it?
There's kind of mixed emotions with him, really, aren't there?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Are you going to come on to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, Malk says he liked him as a Town player, didn't enjoy him terrorising us as a Rovers player, but doesn't wish him any harm.
Oh, that's nice.
But says that he spoilt it, really, by going to Bristol's second club. Little dig there from Malk.
Nice.
But always good to reminisce. I like this from Nathan Norris. This is fantastic. Doesn't remember the game.
home game, County Ground. Mark Waters was on corner duty for the game, and a few of his efforts were unusually dismal. This prompted a rather harsh torrent of abuse from Nathan's dad. Towards the end of the first half, we had another caller from the left-hand side. My dad, before the corner was taken, had already made his displeasure known that Waters had stepped up to take another corner. The corner came in, and almost immediately, my dad stood up yet again and shouted, "What the expletive was that?" however, this time he was interrupted by lots of cheers. Walter's corner had gone straight in, and the typical fickleness of your average football fan was pitifully exposed in the matter of 5 glorious seconds.
I've tried to find this goal.
Yeah.
Goal from corner. I mean, I've tried to find it on YouTube, but I don't think it's there. Unless it's in the Swindon Town Greatest Goals compilation, part 1 and 2, which are 10 minutes each.
Ever scored from a corner, Ben?
Have I ever scored from a corner? No, I haven't. I used to practice doing it sometimes. And
yeah, I think we all did, didn't we?
Yeah, I more or less got 99 of 100.
Yeah.
The only reason I didn't go pro is because I didn't want to.
Pretty good ratio, has to be said. Other backers for Mark Waters. Hi, Jamie. Cheers for mailing in.
Late entry, though, Jamie.
Late entry from Jay, hot off the press. Mark Waters was brilliant. It was just a shame we had him at a time when we were on the decline. He was a bright spark in an otherwise dull side, from what I can remember. And those are my sentiments exactly. That's why I'm a fan. For me, he didn't always, you know, maybe we could have done with a bit more from him, but
his skills are there, the ability was still there, but he was at the tail end of his career.
You expect,
it's like some people who came and graced the County Ground, like, I remember for years watching him in the Premiership, thinking he was great, Ian Wone, but when he came, he was just a bit...
Well, buggered off to America, didn't he? He'd come back, never did.
Yep.
Anyway.
You lied there,
Ian. Save the best for last, in much the same way as Vanessa Redgrave did in the mid-90s. Chris O'Connell... I'm so sorry. Chris O'Connell has emailed in, and Chris, unbelievably, Ben, was on YTS at Swindon and was Mark Waters' ball boy.
That's the stuff I'm talking about.
Absolutely. And he says that considering he had a miles better career than anyone at the club, remember, of course, that he played for Villa, then Rangers. First black player to sign for Rangers.
Yeah,
that's probably the trivia, isn't it? That's the well-known thing about him.
Yeah, but apparently
it didn't go down very well. But honestly, you read some of the stuff about it. I won't go into it now, but the way he talks about it, very dignified and excellent. Really a real ambassador for the game.
Maybe that's the best way to be about it, though.
A real ambassador for the game. Yeah, and that's exactly what he's done, the way he talks about it. But anyway, Villa, Rangers, Liverpool. He was not Mr. Big Time at all. Not like... No, I'm not going to say
that. Don't leave him.
Without the hate campaign. He was not Mr. Big Time at all. As long as you got his kit for him in training, he did not moan once. He also gave advice to players. So, for example, Chris says he got caught on the ball a few times in training, and he said, and Mark Waters said to him, "Look, you need to have a picture of who's around you before you receive the ball." For a 16 and 17-year-old to be getting that advice was great. And obviously...
That's wonderful, man.
Yeah, isn't it great? I wish someone had told me, because I reckon I'd be pro now if I knew that.
Well, I already knew. I didn't tell you because I didn't want you to be pro. But... You know, you get the idea of some hardened old pros who are just going to be really mean to everyone. And I suppose for Mark Waters, he knows he's at the tail end of his career. And he probably doesn't even see it as beneath him, you know what I mean?
He still did quite well for Bristol Rovers after leaving town, though. And Chris thinks there may have been a bit of tension between him and McMahon. But anyway, a couple of other things. Chris, great story. Grabbed him at Christmas and said, "I need you to get my boots from the car as they need cleaning." And he says he was never that big time, so he was a bit surprised because he kind of gave him a bit of a snarl, a bit of a mean look. Opened the guy's car boot, and there was £100 in the boots with a note saying, "You've been a great ball boy."
See, to a YTS, that's brilliant as well.
That is something you'd remember for the rest of your life, isn't it?
Lots of sherbet.
You could buy loads of sherbet. Basically, great player, entertaining player. Love that story. Apparently, he always wore his socks inside out as he didn't like the bit at the end of the sock.
That's a bit
of trivia for you.
I can understand that.
I can understand that as well.
Must be sometime.
And Chris, thanks so much for this email because it's great. And he finishes it with, "The guy was just a classy guy. Fashion-wise, he wasn't the greatest, though. Awful suits, awful ties. Horrific." I mean, Mark Waters was...
He sounds like a classy guy. And he sounds to me, from all these sort of stories and stuff, and, you know, he's come down, obviously, to Swindon and enjoys playing football. And it doesn't mind imparting his knowledge of the game.
A proper ambassador for the game and fantastic feet. Great balance, silky touch, can score from corners. What more do you want? Mark, I just want you to know that when I was 17 years old, you were my footballing hero.
That was Mark Waters.
That was Mark Waters. And that's it. That's episode 4. Thank you so much for listening.
I've enjoyed it.
I've really enjoyed it, mate. I'm feeling a lot more confident now. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, we're comfortable in each other's presence.
I'm starting to drop my H's. I'm starting to, you know...
Starting to just freestyle.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time before I hit the mic. I mean, I'm on a mic, but, you know...
Don't damage the equipment.
I won't damage.
You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. Okay, so the next podcast we're going to record after the Leighton Orient game on Saturday the 23rd should be already
24th,
which is actually payday. But anyway, that's
irrelevant. You get paid on the Friday.
Get paid on the Friday. 22nd. So we'll probably be full of the joys of payday. If you take my meaning.
Quite a few people have emailed in. We put out a question there asking for who would be your ideal person to partner Charlie up front.
I mean, given that he makes a full recovery, of course he's going to make a full recovery. Brilliant player. You have a time machine. It has to be a Swindon player.
We're going to build a time machine.
We're going to build it eventually. Ideal Swindon, we've already had a lot, as Ben says, in, but, you know, email us your thoughts.
Still time.
What's the email address, Ben?
It's wisemensay@live.co.uk. What was it, Robin?
It's wisemensay@live.co.uk.
So you've just sent it into there.
Just send it into there. You've got a time machine, any Swindon player, past or present. Obviously, you wouldn't really need the time machine for the present one, but so try and make it from the past. And do you know what? We don't want the player so much. Obviously, we do, but what we really want are the reasons why. We want some detail. Mm. Why would they be a good...
No matter how twee they may be.
Yeah, I'm saying George and Dar, and I know people may laugh at me for that, but, you know, have a little think about it, then laugh.
I'm laughing because it's nervous laughter.
Yeah, nervous laughter. We need to rule that out. Okay, cool. That's us, isn't it?
That's us.
Thanks a lot for listening.
See you on the 24th.
Bye.